American Crystal Sugar's upcoming closure of the Sidney Sugar Processing Plant going to be a blow. Big blow to the ag economy. But you'll like this. Montana values takeover. Plans are already underway by local producers, businesses, and public officials to move on. Maybe move past this closure and see what doors could open up next. Think you'll enjoy this conversation. Jeff Bieber, local producer, Texas Red Enterprises, and president of the Montana Dakota Beet Growers Association. Rick Norby, mayor of Sidney, and Callie Godfrey, executive director of Sidney Area's Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture on Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. Thanks for clicking onto the podcast. Hope you subscribe. Feel free to contact me, tom@voicesofmontana.com. Would love to hear your comments on this show or show suggestions. Again, tom@voicesofmontana.com. Our podcast is brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Really important today, we look at this issue, and it just kind of blows my mind a little bit when, a lot of people saw it coming. I'm just going to get right into it because Jeff Bieber is our first guest, and Rick Norby, mayor of Sidney, will join us a bit later on. Callie Godfrey, too, with the chamber over there. We'll talk more about some of this aftermath, and of course, what is next, I think, is the best question to ask yourself. Jeff Bieber, president of the Montana Dakota Beet Growers Association, also runs Texas Red Enterprises there as well, on the road. Jeff, you've been real busy here lately. I appreciate you joining us. How are things going, sir?
Thanks for the time, Tom. Thanks for the invitation to come on and tell you a little bit more about what's going on in Sidney, Montana. It's been a whirlwind of the last couple of months. You mentioned in the preview there that a lot of us felt this was coming, but personally, after getting a three-year contract hammered out this last spring, in the spring of 21, I was pretty set for at least a couple more years of producing sugar beets before we had to go back to the table and try and hammer out longer terms with American Crystal.
I got to get right to this allotment discussion, too, because I think, and it was new for me, maybe not so much for people in ag circles, but maybe for the rest of our audience as well, how sugar beets are processed in this country.
Yeah, the allotment system is specific to the crop of sugar beets. No other crop operates under these terms, so to speak, from the USDA and the FSA. And the allotment is the right to sell sugar. It has nothing to do with the production of sugar beets, but instead the right to sell sugar in the United States sugar market. It's a controlled market where U.S. sugar producers are guaranteed a right, the first right to the sugar sugar sales in the United States, and then they bring in sugar from foreign countries to fill the market, so to speak. So they balance the production each year through this allotment system, and it was an extremely good system when it was put in place. When a company needed more allotment, they applied to the USDA. It freely moved from co-op to co-op, but lately it has become a monetized asset that is attached to a co-op, and it was never supposed to be that way in the beginning, and that's really the political reason that Sidney Sugars got squeezed and the growers in Sidney, Montana were put out of business, because that allotment became worth more than the sugar beets that they were producing, the sugar they were producing in Sidney.
Yeah. Is that something that needs to be fixed moving forward, just for the industry? I know maybe Sidney's moving on, but there are some options still, but is that something that needs to be addressed, Jeff?
I would be extremely nervous if I was a sugar grower in the United States right now that is not in a very secure co-op placed environment. I traveled to the Imperial Valley last year and spoke to some growers out there. They're in the exact same situation. They're independent growers attached to a processor, and there's some other. We're not the last domino to fall, I feel, due to the squeezing of the allotment system, and as some co-ops get bigger, some other growers have to go away because the market's only so big.
That in and of itself led into, is complicated this issue a little bit. But a lot of it too, and I, you know, American Crystal Sugar, they don't necessarily want to get on and talk a whole bunch about it. They've released their statements and don't want to do more. But been critical, and I know you've worked with them. You've tried to be partners with the organization. But talk about how they're, you know, we've got cleanup. How's the communication been? Where are they at right now?
There's no communication, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
Communication basically stopped back in December after kind of a hostile meeting between the two sides, in which we were trying to determine how we were going to move forward and what were the steps needed for continued production in Sydney. And you know, it was that, you know, so we spent over 20 years raising beets for American Crystal, and I remember when it was announced that they purchased us, I actually felt pretty good about it. You know, we're now attached to one of the biggest co-ops in the United States. They've got the money to do the things that need to be done. And I thought it was going to be a pretty good relationship moving forward, but just continued cuts to the growers, had to take less pay. And the biggest fight that we had over the years with American Crystal is we as growers were giving up money. And that money was not staying in Sydney. It was not being reinvested in the facility. It was not making Sydney a better plant or processing entity. Matter of fact, I just looked at some numbers, and the downtime that they had between 21 and 22 increased over 8%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it's a lot of downtime when you can figure in 21, they had a full crop of 31,000 acres and only had 4% downtime in that factory. We only had 18,000 acres to process in 22, and that shot up over 8%. So you could just see that the factory was going downhill quickly, and that money was not being reinvested where it was needed.
You know, and when you say you gave money back, that was in contract negotiations. Again, Jeff Bieber is with us, president of Montana Dakota Beet Growers Association. Also runs Texas Red Enterprises there. That's a lot seed. You guys sell seed, and what else you guys do? Texas Red.
Yeah. Well, we're basically farmers at heart. We raise, we used to raise sugar beets, obviously, and now we're moving into corn, soybeans, spring wheat and a little bit of alfalfa, but we have always sold, I think this would have been my 23 year selling seed for Crystal Beet Seed. And along the way we picked up, Pioneer Seed, which sells anything from corn, soybean, sunflowers, alfalfa. And then my son recently picked up Westbred spring wheat seed, where he started to sell that. This will be our first year selling for them. But mainly we're farmers at heart, and we kind of joked about it that we always called ourselves sugar beet farmers, because that's kind of what we did out here in the Yellowstone Valley. And now we're rebranding ourselves as other farmers, other crop farmers now.
Yeah, but farmer at heart still works for us too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I wanted to finish up before I'm going to ask you what you're growing next and what other producers are doing. There's some cleanup considerations. We might save that for Rick Norby, mayor of Sydney. Those contract negotiations, just to talk about that, when you said you were giving money back, what the American Crystal Sugar was asking was for reductions in crop payments so that they could continue to operate, right?
Correct. Yep. They always told us that the factory was not profitable and the growers would have to keep less or have to take less. That was their go-to line in the contract negotiations, or they would talk about closing the factory. And this was over the whole 20-year span. Over that 20-year span, we dealt with three-year, let's call them marketing terms. So we would go in and set the policies and the price per ton, depending on sugar and net selling price, for 3 years. But they were always made up of one single-year individual contracts. So even though you had a three-year term to budget with, you only had a one-year contract every year. So that was another thing that's vastly different with whatever other crops that are produced in the United States, is how business was conducted between the two companies.
Are you going to have stranded assets? Because I was reading as well that sugar beets, the equipment you use there, doesn't necessarily easily transfer to other products out there.
Correct. Yeah, there's a lot of stranded assets in the harvesting side of sugar beets. The planting, the tractors, they all can they all can be used with other crops. But unfortunately, you don't need as many tractors moving forward. So an operation that now has four or five tractors is going to be looking to get rid of one or two of them. You don't need nearly as many trucks moving forward, so you're going to have to thin your truck line down, and then your defoliator and your sugar beet harvester and your beet cart are absolutely crop-specific items that people are scrambling right now to figure out how to trade or sell. There's a couple of big consignment auctions being put together that are going to be held in, I believe, April and May, in with most of the equipment made up from the Yellowstone Valley. And, you know, as we scramble, another big scramble that we're having to do is today, March 15th is the last day that you can sign up your new crops. So in this short time period, we've had to decide what crops we're going to grow, how to insure them, how to market them, get seed lined up. And that's one thing that we've reached out and asked for some help with through the USDA and the FSA is in maybe some extra time to get these crops signed up. And then also, as you insure these crops, you're forced, since you've never raised these crops before, that you have to look at using county yield or T-yield rates, which are considerably lower than the crops that we're able to produce in Sidney, Montana. So we've asked for some help there also, in that maybe we could look at those rates, and a lot of the rates are based on dry land production instead of irrigated production that we have, that the sugar beets were raised on. So that makes a vast difference in the amount of dollars per acre that you can insure under the current programs, federal crop insurance.
Jeff Bieber again, president of the Montana Dakota Beet Growers Association, also operates Texas Red Enterprises. I got a call from Pat, just a question from her real quickly about, and she wants to know where she can buy Made in Montana sugar. Is there any way that, I think she's looking to support the farmers in some way as well, but is there any way that there is a Made in Montana sugar product out there?
It's getting harder to find Western sugar. If you look for the Western Sugar logo, would probably be as close as you could get now to buying a Montana-made sugar product off of the shelves.
Okay.
She may, if she's wanting to support the Yellowstone Valley, she may need to start looking into sweeteners made by corn sugar now instead of beet sugar.
Yeah.
And support that industry.
Hey, let me ask you, and I got about a minute and a half left, and I know you're traveling. I really appreciate how busy you've been and spending some time with us here. Is there any chance that is, what's the discussion about cooperatives? What's the discussion about continuing perhaps, or moving on? I know right now we're 6 weeks past this announcement. Folks had seen it coming. Some have already made other kinds of preparations, but what's the hope? There's some big bins there. What's the hope of recovery for at least that facility?
Well, there is a facility in place. American Crystal has started to deconstruct the facility, so to speak, and take some measures of closing it down that aren't going to make it easily obtainable to take that facility over and produce sugar immediately. And the plant has been ran down in the last 10 years very, very hard and needs some investment in it. But there is a plant. There are growers who are very much interested in continuing to be sugar beet producers. The biggest thing that it boils down to is getting access to that plant so you can apply for allotment through the USDA and get that allotment so if you do produce sugar out in Sidney, you can sell it. And one interesting thing is we've had a couple of businesses reach out to us about the biomass energy produced from sugar beets and the power that is made in a plant such as we have there with the ability to sell that power back onto the grid. There's some conversations going on in regards to that.
That would be interesting.
Really, we've had to scramble and figure out what we're going to do for this immediate year since this, you know, we all kind of thought we had a couple more years to deal with sugar beets.
Right. Well, what else is needed? I mean, just to keep working, keep marching through this all?
Yeah, well, we've had a lot of outreach immediately from the legislative, from the senators, reps, and governor. And I think that's continued. We need to keep talking. I think they're doing an extremely good job in trying to help the factory workers, which are displaced and need immediate assistance in finding new employment opportunities. I think they've done well with that. I think now maybe a shift towards helping some of these farmers that may be struggling attaining financing, taking a very big budget item off of their balance sheets when they're sitting in front of their bankers, and maybe some long-term low-interest loans as we do transfer out of sugar beet equipment and have to buy new assets to farm corn and soybeans. So there's some help and some continued discussions that could be a big benefit out in Sydney.
I just get this whole they're not going to be this kind of attitude coming from the sugar beet growers there, Jeff. I very much appreciate that. I mean, you guys can move on, right? I mean,
and that's where the focus was right from the start on the factory worker, because the growers are resilient. Yeah. The growers have access to the ground, and we can plant other crops. It's going to be if we can survive planting those other crops, and not only survive, but we want to be able to thrive. And my son, as I mentioned, is back on the farm. He's 27. He very much was excited about growing sugar beets. We had a very nice operation set up, and when that bombshell hit, everything changed for us. And now it's not to the point where that we can thrive and get him invested in sugar beets. It's now we got to try and survive and keep him on the farm. And it's a whole different outlook when you don't have a cash crop such as sugar beets on your balance sheet.
Wow. There's lots more to discuss, Jeff, and I appreciate it as you kind of walk through it. We'll catch up again. Safe travels to you, sir, and thanks for your time here, and thanks for, you know, being a part of this Montana Dakota Beet Growers Association. I know you were very involved in that, and that's appreciated as well.
Yeah, thank you, and I thank you for the time for us to, again, continue to tell our story. Like I said, there is a dedicated group of growers out here that are very much interested and wanted to continue to grow beets in Sydney, Montana.
Yeah.
We did everything we could to keep this thing moving forward.
Yep. Story's not over. Maybe there's a new chapter being written, but the story's not over. Jeff Bieber, again, thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Take a quick break and come on back. Rick Norby standing by, Mayor of Sydney. We'll talk about what public officials may be able to do. Of course, the fallout there, 300-plus jobs, a lot of that was seasonal. But what about the economy overall? Some have said it's up to about $100 million hit overall. We'll talk more. Rick Norby will join us next. Sydney Sugars, here today on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
A lot of egg focus here today. Sydney, 7 a.m., 9 a.m. That was going on this morning. The Economic Outlook Seminar Series wrapped up there. Just one note here, as they're talking ag, they're talking these issues specifically from the BBER, the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at the University of Montana. Pardon me. And so they also have today, Miles City, noon to 2 p.m. That's at the Sleep In and Suite. So you can just get all kinds of information. I've been talking about that Economic Outlook Seminar Series. It's wrapping up today. Last chance to catch it there in eastern Montana begins at noon today in Miles City. Also, just a note here, too, our friends up in Plentywood are getting ready for this. This will be the Northeast Montana Farm Expo. We talked about that a little bit, too. They've got some workshops going on there. Palmer Amaranth, is that how you say that now? I'm getting used to that. This new weed that is kind of blown up in western North Dakota, and it's just... It looks not very good. It reaches a height of 6 to 8 feet. We'll have more on that. Jack Baysmore, the Sheridan County MSU Extension Office, has given us a call on that. But that's going on this week, March 16th and 17th as well, in Plentywood, Montana, the Northeast Montana Farm Expo. Let's welcome Rick Norby, Mayor of Sydney, Montana, Callie Godfrey, Executive Director at the Sydney Area Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture. Good day. How are you guys?
We're doing awful good. We just kind of finished the economic seminar.
Good job. I was going to ask you we were chatting yesterday, and I was going to ask Rick, this is a good thing for you to go to, but how did it go?
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Very interesting.
Yeah. Just a ton of good information there, I know. And I highly recommend it, because for decision makers like you guys, you are decision makers and stakeholders, you need to be informed, and that's a really good way to do it.
Yep.
So.
Well, Miss Godfrey here was one that put it on, so she did good.
All right. Callie, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Was it good to get those BBER folks out there, or was it good to see them leaving town?
No, it was.
I know.
They're actually very funny. They make a lot of these stats a little bit more personable, and we got some good numbers to kind of work our strategies off of. So it was a good time.
I give them a hard time. We're well associated with those guys, and I love that. So giving them a hard time, and thank you for putting that on there. Rick, I don't know if you heard some of Jeff's comments. You've been talking about this. We're looking at sort of what's next. We've talked about what has happened here. From your standpoint, we're 6 weeks past this announcement, almost. Maybe 5-6 weeks. What's your status? What's your take right now?
Well, I think the biggest thing for our, and I'll agree with Jeff on a lot that he had said, our major concern is the employees coming out of the factory. Of course, we want them all to find jobs, and hopefully they stay in our community, you know, and work and live here. But there has been quite a few, job fairs, I guess, from other factories around the area that have been in here. I just want to see them end up with jobs and be able to get on with their lives.
And Callie, what's your thoughts now? Because I think as far as, you know, executive director at the Sydney Area Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture, you I don't know if you saw this coming. Did you have a plan kind of in place? How have you jumped into action here?
Yeah, so to echo what my mayor said, the people are obviously our first priority. But yes, I think the whole community saw this coming. It's always been a question of, every single year, is the contract getting renewed? Is the acreage going to be there? So it isn't all that surprising. In terms of a plan for moving forward, there's a few ideas kicking around the community about what the factory could be rehabbed into, mm-hmm. or what potential new opportunities lie for the acreage that used to be sugar beets. The other thing that our community is really holding Crystal Sugar's feet to the fire for is the economic impact of the factory. We want to make sure that doesn't fall back on our taxpayers. And all of the government officials have been really progressive about getting the word to Crystal Sugar's that will be the expectation.
Mm. Rick, your thoughts on that as well. I know Jeff had said the communication hasn't been real good from his standpoint anyway.
Yes, almost definitely. You know, the biggest thing for me when I take a look at, restoring possibly property that could be used for something else is the cleanup.
Yeah,
I want to make sure that gets done. You know, I want their feet held to the fire that gets cleaned up.
What needs to be cleaned up there?
Well, you have so many years of lime and the lagoons that sit down by the river.
Mm-hmm. And will it take federal action? Does the EPA need to come in and certify that cleanup?
Yes, most definitely.
What's the process for that, Rick?
You know, at this point in time, I don't know.
Yeah.
You have to get DEQ involved in the EPA. On that end of the deal, they'll have to just make sure that it's properly taken care of for our county doesn't get stuck to have to do it.
As the mayor of Sydney, I can appreciate that focus. Callie, I'm sure you as well, because if you're looking to redevelop, as you noted, rehab that clean bill of health has got to come, doesn't it?
Yes, most definitely.
Let's look at what else can be done there. And I've got a text message. We sort of asked that question, and there's the possibility that there may be biomass there. Here's a text. Here's a text message. I recall that beets are a good stock input for ethanol production. Has anyone thought about this possibility? What are the possibilities there, Rick Norby and Callie Godfrey?
Go ahead, Callie.
Okay. So ethanol is a possibility. One thing that we already have kind of going on in our area is a ethanol plant that will be based in Trenton, North Dakota. That's in the works. I don't expect to see much out of it for at least 5 years down the road. The one thing that I've heard about that is they usually aren't necessarily growing, I think it's soybeans, in the area that would be actually used at that plant.
So, okay.
There's other options available too. They look at custom crushing, which would be kind of cool because you're not really beholden to any corporate standards. You can do everything from corn, safflower, sunflower, all your dry beans, in kind of the same facility, to my understanding. So that's an option. Corn used for cattle feed seems to be a popular alternative to the sugar beets as well. But the prices of things are what people are looking at. Mm-hmm. And it seems like whatever's going on in Ukraine and the rest of the economy, like, everybody is just not very secure in making a move at the moment. It's a risk no matter how you do it. And I'm sure that our community is resilient. No matter what we do, we've got some of the richest agricultural land in the country, but scary nonetheless.
Yeah. And Rick, we're going to talk about maybe more specifically how this affects the economy overall, what perhaps you're going to be doing for employees in that regard. But Rick Norby, mayor of Sydney, also Callie Godfrey with the Sydney Area Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture. Rick, your family has grown beets there. You grew up in that area. I'm no stranger to that area. As Callie had said, and we talked earlier with Jeff, you see that resiliency. But talk about how this it's kind of the end of an era, so to speak, isn't it?
Yep. I know myself personally, I raised them for 20 years along with my dad and brother. My dad, his family, of course, were drylanders to begin with, and then he had moved down in the valley in the 50s. And he raised them forever too. So, I mean, for us, you know, looking at it, I know you could see the handwriting on the wall. I get that. But it really sinks in when it finally hits you. Because I could go all the way back to Holly Sugar days. I mean, it was always a fight when it came to doing contracting. It always was. And you just had it in your mind that it wasn't going to go anywhere. But in our area, you know, so much as an impact, it's going to be a major ripple effect all across, all of Richland, Dawson, you know, even into McKenzie. It's going to be a ripple effect that we're going to have to deal with, and we'll get through it. I mean, I'll tell you right now, going back to all the stuff I've dealt with being mayor, we stick together. I mean, we may argue and fight once in a while, but this area is tough. We're sticking together, and we'll get through it.
Yeah, we just do that for fun, because that's the kind of folk we are. Rick Norby, Callie Godfrey, back with more Voices here in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Affects about 300 seasonal workers, 100 kind of year-round factory workers at Sydney Sugars announced the closure in early February. We're talking about that today with Sydney Mayor Rick Norby. Family's been a part of the sugar beet ag industry for a lot of years there. Callie Godfrey is Executive Director at Sydney Area Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture, as we'll talk more about the overall effect on the economy there and you know, how it stretches across all of Montana, really. Rick and Callie, again, thank you both for being here. I'm going to direct this question first to you, Rick, about employees. You talked about my concern is for those employees. There seems to be a lot of work in the area, I know, but you've got a lot of people who have spent maybe a lot of years at Sydney Sugars. Talk about what specifically they'll be dealing with.
You know, when you take a look, you got 3-4 generations that have worked there over the years. You've got a lot of those people that I grew up with, you know, and I'm pushing that. I'm at that 60-year-old point, and I know a lot of them are the same age as me, so they're not quite ready to retire. For them to move on from here, it's very unlikely, in my opinion, they'll leave Sydney. You know, they need to find jobs to get them all the way through until they retire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's none of my business, but that's how I feel. You know, you got 130 employees, 90 of them were working within the factory, not administration. Those people, there's a lot of jobs in Sydney. I think that's the way it is across the whole state of Montana. But does it pay enough to pay their bills? That's the part you got to look at. You know, with any kind of insurances or whatever they might have had through the factory, I don't know what they all got from the factory. But that's my biggest concern, is trying to get them into something that they can you know, still make their living they're used to and still stay in our area.
Kelly, I was going to have you follow up as to what kind of effect that has on the overall economy. I know there was some reporting about $52 million a year from the plant itself, but almost $100 million in economic impact. What's the transition rate as Rick is talking about getting these families into maybe new employment? How does that overall affect the economy?
Okay, so that's a big question.
Yeah.
So one thing to consider is, yes, Sydney does have a high unemployment rate, so there are job opportunities available. But like my mayor said, making sure that, one, people can still afford to live on whatever these other job opportunities are paying for wages is a factor. And then also what the employability of those Sydney Sugar employees that will be displaced is. So there are a lot of local resources that can help that, and Montana's pretty progressive in it. Our governor's behind a really cool apprenticeship program that I think is kind of underutilized and could be a huge asset to retraining some of these people. There's also a lot of dollars available for getting people everything from CDLs to getting to CNAs.
Good.
So there are lots of opportunities, and those people that have the authority to grant out those dollars and whatnot, they are boots on the ground in Sydney and getting people connected to those resources. In terms of the transition, we know that Sydney Sugars has a settlement basically with their employees that incentivizes the employees to stay in their position until the date which they are no longer employed. So we do have a job fair scheduled literally the next week that would connect those people with additional opportunities as well.
When and where is that job fair then?
We're looking at April 19th, and it will be at the Richland County Event Center.
Okay. Keep that in mind, April 19th. And that's Callie Godfrey, Executive Director at Sydney Area Chamber of Commerce and Agriculture, right? Not all of the Chamber of Commerce's add and agriculture, but Sydney does because it's important. You know, Rick, the area, and I've lived up there. I spent my share of time nearby. It's been a boom and bust area because of the oil fields for a lot of years. So you guys are maybe, has that helped in terms of dealing with this potential financial setback?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, you go back when I graduated from high school in 81, that was about the height of the last oil boom and bust. And, you know, I seen our area grow. It was, you know, of course you had stagnant afterwards, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it has made everybody tough. And the one thing that I like that I seen when the last one hit us in about 2012 is we never forgot about agriculture. It was an important lesson that everybody learned back in the early 80s that agriculture will always be here, and you rely on your farmers for that. So this year, like we're talking about, I do believe they'll survive. Of course, maybe not the new ones. And listen to Jeff, there's possibly going to be some help for them.
Yeah.
And I like hearing that. I know the struggles with agriculture, trying to just keep your doors open.
Callie, who have you heard from? Who have you heard from in that area that says, you know, Callie, I'm concerned about keeping my doors open? What assets are out there? What resources?
Okay, so I actually have not heard much in terms of people concerned about staying open. There's a lot of pivoting strategies.
Okay.
In fact, I've heard a lot of a little bit more of a positive narrative. There are new seed companies coming in. There are new manufacturing companies coming in. We just had Mondac Ag Days the 2nd and 3rd of March, and, I mean, we sold out of vendors in about 30 seconds. And that was a huge networking opportunity. There was strategies right and left for what they could do and how they could produce and where they could do it. It's just a matter of getting the right opportunity and then having the farmers decide what they're actually going to plant.
You know, Tom, I'd like to add to that.
Yeah.
If you don't mind. You know, I've noticed, too, a lot of advertising even in our City Herald and even on Facebook of things that were possible, you know, for growing and fertilizer companies, seed companies that I didn't even know existed in this area. Mm. So, I mean, it has turned positive, and that's just our area. That's the way we react to things.
Well, that's, yeah, I think that's that your Montana value thing. How will this affect schools? Are they looking at adjusting their budgets temporarily, significantly?
You know, in my opinion, just listening to Mr. Sukit, the superintendent, when the governor was here, of course they're going to have to do some changes, because with any taxes that are lost through the county side, they're going to lose money. There ain't no question about it for their funding. And that's one thing we don't need to happen. So they're going to have to make budget adjustments, just like us at the city.
Significant? Is there? And it's hard to tell, I know. And so I'm asking all these questions because there may not be answers to them, but I'm still curious as to if it will be significant, if it will be, they'll have to do something. But have they talked about, you know, that they can handle that? Or are they going to look for help outside, maybe to the Capitol?
You know, I can't really answer that. Yeah. I don't know if Kelly can, to be honest with you. I can speak on behalf of the city.
Okay.
I mean, you know, coming in as mayor in 2014, I made some major cuts because we started seeing the bottom fall of the oil market at that time towards the end of 14. And right now we're operating on bare minimum, and we'll continue to operate that way. It's just something we'll make it work.
Kelly, do you have any follow-up on that?
Well, just coming out of that economic outlook, so for Richland County, in 2023, we're projected to have a negative 5.3 growth in non-farm earnings. And that is down substantially from the year before, which is also in the negative, which I think is to be expected. 2023, I'm calling our transition year and a renaissance. When we go to 2024, we're back up to 1.5% in growth. So that's a huge jump. And, I mean, yeah, I think 2023 will be painful. It'll be harder for the farmers to get that initial financing and the insurance, all the logistics hammered out. But, I mean, it's a growing pain that we will get over.
Yeah. There's another growing pain, Rick, and maybe it's an unfair question, but if there is an opportunity to rehab that factory, a business comes in, oftentimes they look to the city or the county for concessions. But I guess that kind of depends on what they are. But maybe there's a little bit of leeriness about making concessions, especially in today's economy. It's not just the city, but it's also the county. Have you guys talked about what kind of encouragement or what kind of incentives that might be available to rehab that factory?
You know, when you take a look at abatements or anything like that, that's got to be done through the county. Yeah. And I know going back to the meeting with the governor, we had a couple commissioners at that meeting, and they had mentioned, you know, some kind of tax abatements and incentives. And I believe we'll work whatever we got to do to get somebody back into that building.
Hmm. Nice. It's a pretty big piece of property there, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Callie and Rick, thank you, guys. We'll stay in touch on this, too. And if there's any way that we can help out informing the state or connecting with resources, I know you guys have a lot of resources out there. But we're Montanans, and so we're all in it. No matter what part of the state is going through challenges. That's how I feel anyway. And so if we can help, let us know, okay?
Not a problem, Tom. You know why? I'll bug you.
Yeah, do. And I'll come up and see you one of these days, too.
Yep, yeah. Sounds great, Tom.
Callie, you're doing a good job. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Bye-bye.